So I'd like to direct our attention today, our attention to Acts chapter 12, and I'll just read two brief verses. It's a very familiar text, but it's something that as we have heard much lately about, if you will, convenient Christianity or pajama Christianity. Thank you, Puyan. We have Stephen's challenge on Saturday, as well as others, just moving us to action and maybe shifting us off complacency and maybe even encouraging us to encourage others in fervency. I'd like to read a text that's really been intriguing to me to study. So Acts chapter 12, beginning in verse 5, you'll remember the setting. So James has been killed. Now Peter is in prison. And verse 5 says, "Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him." And then if we were to pause our thinking, we know that the angel broke, was breaking Stephen out of prison. And I'm a little bit odd in this regard. I kind of like seeing the humorous aspects of Scripture, and I've got a list of things that I'm compiling. Someday there's going to be a sermon about the humor in the Scripture without being irreverent, but there's several places I think the Lord demonstrates humor, and this is one of them. And I may be reading into the text, but I may not. But verse 7 says, "And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him," speaking of Peter. And I'm just wondering, if the angel of the Lord came upon us in the middle of the night, would we be aware of that? Evidently, Peter was not. And so the Lord turns the intensity up a little bit, and a light shined in the prison. And evidently, that wasn't good enough to wake Peter up. I don't know if you are a sensitive sleeper. I can sleep in an airport in broad daylight, but others need to have blinders on their eyes. And so evidently Peter was a heavy sleeper, and a light shined in the prison. That was enough. So the third intensity level was that the Lord, through the angel, smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, and before I complete that verse, I just have to see, this is fascinating to me. I don't know what the smote was like, the smiting of Peter was like, if it was a wake-up smite or if it was a very hard smiting that actually raised Peter up. Now, this may be all the process of raising Peter up, or it may have been a pretty significant smiting, if you will, and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly." And his chains fell off from his hands. So this would have been dramatic. This would have been never seen before. This would have been amazing that this was happening. So, in verse 12, we see, "And when he had considered the thing," I bet he was. I bet he was looking at his wrist, thinking, "Those chains are no longer here. Those gates opened. I am considering this thing." I heard somebody say the other day, that is KJV for W-O-W. Okay, that is wow. Look what's happening. And he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, and where many were gathered together praying. So all this was transpiring while believers were praying. Now, I think we could make a good case for the fact that God is at work, even if we don't see it happening, as we've talked about here in the last few days. We see this happening. But I would like to encourage us with the urgency in which the church was praying. They were fighting back. They were in spiritual warfare with diligent praying, unceasing praying. So the words, the two words even there, without ceasing, have parallel meanings. So a way of looking at this would be intense praying, urgent praying, even to the point of strained praying. So one commentator said this has the idea of a stretching a muscle to its limits. And as I read this, I thought of some of the things we've talked about lately of our prayer meetings or even the intensity of prayer meetings being inconvenient in our culture. The opposite of that is praying as if a muscle is being stretched to its limits. This is intense praying. So, yesterday when I was doing some reading, I ran across an illustration that I'd used years before, and I had forgotten about this. It's not necessarily a church history illustration, although I guess it did happen in church history. But think with me about this intensity of struggle that we ought to be employing in our praying. And that is that several years ago, a lady named Deborah was putting fuel in her vehicle. And she was outside the car, obviously. She was reaching for the receipt from the gas pump, the fuel pump. And as she was reaching for the receipt, a man jumped into the driver's seat of her car and proceeded to drive away. And Deborah realized it was not only her car that was being victimized, but her young daughter was in the car seat, asleep in the back seat. And so, as the account was told, she went into an absolute rage. She reached into the open window and started punching the assailant as he was driving. She grabbed the wheel and somehow got the door open and got him half pulled out of the car. And as she was struggling, the car ran into the window of a store, and she just evidently continued to beat him. And it ends up that he had a broken leg, several fractured ribs, and a concussion. And the article author said she beat him to pieces. They asked her afterwards if it was hard to hang on, and her response was, "It was my daughter in the back seat. It wasn't hard. I had to save her." So with that, this was not an inconvenience for her. This was a matter of desperation. This was a matter of urgency. It was passion on her part. So even in this Acts chapter 12 passage, they were in awe of what God was doing, and with intensity and desperation, they wanted this to continue, the advance of the gospel, the working of the Holy Spirit, and they saw enough to be able to gather to pray with fervency, without ceasing. We could even say with maximum effort. This has just gripped my heart. This is just... Even as I was, I wasn't preaching yesterday, I was sitting in the auditorium and I was thinking about our congregation, thinking we have a large front yard in the auditorium, or the property of the church. Our church kind of sits back in the property, and it's red, hard clay. Now, it's not hard right now because it's been raining, but I got thinking, if we were to bury $1 million in treasure in the front yard of the church, and tell people there is buried treasure, I'll guarantee you, by the time church let out on Sunday morning and church gathered again on Sunday evening, there would be multiple dig spots in that front yard. People would skip lunch. Okay? They would skip their Sunday afternoon nap. They would come to church early to find buried treasure with intensity, with, we could say, maximum effort. And I see this same intensity in this early church prayer meeting. And I just want to thank you for your intensity in sacrificing these minutes in prayer in your day. And I would also like to encourage us to invite others to join us in the digging, in the intensity, in the spiritual warfare. Theologian Simon Kistemacher said this regarding this passage. He said, "Herod failed to realize the power of prayer that the entire church wielded on behalf of Peter. That is, through the prayers of his people, God himself intervened and showed Herod Agrippa that his opposition was insignificant and futile." So may our God be strong. God is strong. May we mobilize his strength in our praying. We desire with intensity that sinners not go to hell. we desire with passion that the glory of the Lord would be made manifest. Charles Spurgeon said this regarding this text. He said, they were not gathered to hear a sermon, but to pray. And many were gathered, a great rebuke to numerous believers today. And then he said this. So this is what's lodged within my mind. He said, by practice, by conviction, and by instinct, the people of God gathered together to pray for great matters. Practice, conviction, and instinct. May it be our instinct to pray. May it be that our instinct is to be in spiritual warfare. And a familiar hymn will close with these words. Am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? And shall I fear to own his cause or blush to speak his name? Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by thy word. If you want to have your heart challenged, I would encourage you to Google two men in church history that I was reading about this morning. Number one is a man, both of these are Scottish, Patrick Hamilton, in 1528 was burned on yesterday's date at the stake. There's quite a story about him as he was a soldier of the cross. And then another man, George Wishart, in 1546 on today's date was tried for preaching the gospel and by faith in Christ alone. And he ended up being martyred at the stake. So strenuous, inconvenient efforts in gospel advance.